All right, listeners, I have a one question pop quiz. Who was the first person to refuse to get up from their seat on a Montgomery bus and spark the civil rights movement?
Well, I was going to say Rosa Parks, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me I'm wrong.
Yep. If you said Rosa Parks, wrong. And congratulations, you fell victim to one of the most successful PR campaigns in American history. History is messy,
weird, wild, anything but boring.
We're Rainy Day Rabbit Holes,
exploring the unhinged side of history, politics, and culture.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole. 9 months before Rosa Parks became a household name, a 15-year-old girl named Claudette Colvin did the exact same thing, except she did it louder and angrier. So why don't we even know her name? Well, buckle up, because the answer involves teenage pregnancy, respectability politics, and the kind of institutional cowardice that would make today's Republican Congress look like freedom fighters. Bootlickers. Anyway, Claudette was too young, too dark, too poor, too pregnant, and too real for the civil rights establishment to stomach. She didn't fit the vibe, so they wrote her out of the story entirely. At least until they needed her to win the actual lawsuit that ended bus segregation. Yeah, you heard that right. The girl they threw away, she's the one that actually came out with the win. All right, Shay, let me paint you a picture. It's March 2nd, 1955, Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, a place full of lots of civil rights.
Well, if you're black, every single day is a masterclass in humiliation.
Yeah.
You work in white people's homes. You clean their toilets. You raise their children. But God forbid you sit in the same section of the bus as them on your way to home.
For shame.
Shame. Get away from me. You're not good enough to sit next to me. Wipe my butt.
Oh, God.
The bus system in Montgomery wasn't just transportation. It was a repetitive display of white supremacy. Black people paid the same fare as the white people, but they had to enter through the front of the bus, pay the fare, then get off and re-enter through the back door. Sometimes, just for funsies, the driver would just drive off before they could get back on the bus.
Oh, lovely.
Keep
their
money.
People grand.
Ha ha ha, so funny. And if the white section filled up, you had to give up your seat in the colored section and stand.
Great.
So here comes Claudette Colvin. She's 15 years old. She's a straight-A student at Booker T. Washington High School. She's been reading about Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth in her classes. She actually believes, naively, beautifully, that the Constitution applies to her too. Bless
her
heart.
Yeah, she hasn't gotten jaded like the rest of us.
She knew that when the Founding Fathers wrote, quote, all men are created equal, unquote, that it meant her too.
Nope, it just meant white landowners. Yep. White male landowners, excuse
me. Yes, exactly. I just learned that the other day. They didn't actually mean all men. They meant all men with
property.
Yeah.
So poor men did not.
Yeah.
Even if you were white and a man, if you were poor, you still didn't matter.
And do you know how that got, like, not changed, but I guess it included other people, was the people that came out and fought for this in the revolution were just your commoners who believed in this and thought they were included. And so they had to include them because they fought the war for us. And so then it became all men, but they still made it white men.
Yeah. Which is funny because then it also is only white men. Okay. But only if you're from certain countries.
Right. Right. Yes.
Like if you're Irish, you know, they're white. They're very white. They're very pale. But yeah, no. You don't count.
That's dirty white.
Yeah.
And the fascinating thing is that the founding fathers who wrote all men are created equal did that while literally owning other human beings.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to the story. On this day, Claudette gets on the Highland Gardens bus after school. She's sitting in the middle section, technically the colored section, but it's one of those rows that it could be claimed if white passengers on the bus or the white spaces get filled up. And wouldn't you know it, the bus filled up.
It's kind of like a very much more racist, like the people with disabilities section of the bus where you're like, okay, you can sit here until somebody who needs it.
Right.
But with racism.
Right, right. They don't need it. They, in this case, they don't need it.
They're, no. They just feel they're like they're entitled to it. Yeah.
The driver, Robert Cleary, a typical mediocre white man who seizes the moment of power where he can, tells Claudette and three other black students to get up for the white passengers. The other students move. Claudette doesn't, leaving a white woman without a seat.
Clutching my pearls. Oh, the humanity.
And this really struck me in this moment because it's not just about the seat. Claudette didn't want to stand up. she was standing up for a movement by sitting down. So, and she's 15. She's a child. And she's been taught her entire life that she's less than, that she's disposable, that her humanity is negotiable.
She's like, yeah, heck no.
I'm done with that.
F this. Nope.
She's 15 years old. What were you worried about when you were 15? Human rights. I actually kind of was always like that person that would go protest and fight for something. I loved doing that.
No, I wasn't. I was very self-obsessed, of course, at 15. I was so worried about what other people thought about me. I think 15 was when I went into my goth phase.
Oh,
so
you scared them off. If they
it was a Christian goth phase. Just remember, I was partially homeschooled. So it was as goth as I could get, was like wearing some black. But I also, during this phase, and this is just a little sidebar, sorry to distract from your story, it just made me think about being 15. Through the church, I met this girl, I can't remember her name, but she had these group of friends who were really into this game called Vampire the Masquerade. It's a role-playing game, but it comes with all of these beautiful books, and I was really into like the Anne Rice books at the time and vampires. It was very, because those are very sexual and romantic, and I'm like, they're super horny, and I'm 15 years old, and so I was obsessed.
Those books?
Like, Oh, absolutely. I wanted to be a vampire so bad.
Oh my gosh, that's
so
hilarious.
This is my goth, I wanted to be a vampire. So that's what I was thinking about at 15, not civil rights. But I also come from an amazing place of privilege, being a white person born in the United States into a, you know, we were lower middle class, but still middle class family. I didn't have a whole lot of things to worry about except for being oppressed by
your parents.
Christianity.
Yeah.
Which at 15, you know, you're not too worried about it yet.
That's true. Most 15-year-olds aren't ready to stand up for a social justice, justice movement.
But I also hadn't been treated like she had.
Absolutely.
Her whole life.
Or even the opportunity to see people treated like that. You know, when you're homeschooled and then your circles are, you know, privileged and ish, and you don't even experience what she's, or know that she's, somebody is experiencing that. Of course, it's a different era.
The 80s and 90s for me, and like,
but there's still people that were experiencing injustices for no good reason.
I was not exposed to it.
Exactly. So then you had to worry about being goth
and a vampire. I was like, I'm never gonna be a vampire.
You poor thing.
I just want somebody to bite me.
Right vampire.
But yeah, it was
it's got to be a vampire.
That was also sex.
Oh, yeah.
Because the act of being bit by a vampire is supposed to be orgasmic. So I was like, I want that. I don't know what it is, but I want it.
Sounds amazing.
I know. Let's go for that.
Anne Rice did a real good job.
Oh, yeah, she did. I did not know about the homosexual undertones of it. I didn't recognize that until now, and I was like, man, these are some horny gay vampires. This is great.
I didn't read her books, but I did see the movie.
Oh, well, even in the movie, like, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt's
characters. I was stuck on the fact that there was a little girl in this.
She was so good in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was such a
She was really good in it. It just was not, it to me, it came across some lines.
Oh, for sure. But it was also, so another sidebar, I guess I had learned that, I can't remember exactly what it is, either Anne Rice had gone through a horrible miscarriage before she wrote that book, or she had lost an infant child. And part of the underlying tones of that and that character is the loss of her child.
Oh,
don't
know.
Well,
I gotta
see
it again on a different,
I know, you need to learn lens. About that. And then, yeah, don't quote me. I can't remember the exact details, but there was something about when she wrote that, it was processing grief.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to write a book.
Just kidding. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so we have barely gotten into the story. I've already interrupted 14 times. Okay, so she, 15 years, what were you doing at 15? And she was fighting for civil rights.
Claudette Colvin was staring down the entire architecture of American racism at 15. Mm. By herself. There was no movement with her. This was not a planned event. This was in a moment that just struck her an opportunity, and she took it. So the bus driver calls the police. Two cops show up. They ask her to move, and she refuses. And here's where I'm like, hell yeah, girl. She tells them, it is my constitutional right to sit here as much as that lady. I paid my fare, the same fare, and it is my constitutional right, and I will stay in this seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a 15-year-old girl in 1955 wow. Alabama citing her constitutional rights to a white police officer.
Yeah, she...
The labia on this girl. Titanium.
Yeah, grow a pair of labia. They're a lot stronger than balls.
That's right.
God, yeah,
she had them.
She puts my whole life to shame. She's amazing. That's amazing.
She is amazing. In fact, the cops were so impressed by her bravery that they told her she could keep her seat and the white lady could just stand.
That has to be a lie. This is 1955 in Alabama.
Just kidding. They arrested her. They beat her. They brutalized her. They drug her off the bus, kicking and screaming. Manhandled her. She actually thought that her body didn't belong to her anymore at some point as they beat her. They handcuffed her to the car door and they called her a bitch. She's a 15-year-old girl. Oh, and don't forget they called her the N-word multiple times.
Of course they did, because it was times.
So they throw her in an adult jail cell where she sits terrified, listening to the sounds of other prisoners and wondering if she's actually going to die there. Claudette's arrest makes the black community sit up and take notice. The NAACP leaders, Edie Nixon and Rosa Parks herself, a young preacher named Martin Luther King Jr., he had just moved to town, they all start thinking, this could be it. This could be our test case to challenge segregation. But then politics. And this is where the story gets really uncomfortable. All right, we need to pause here because what happens next is going to make you want to flip a table. So go clear that table off to make less of a mess while you're listening to our sponsor. Spoiler alert, the civil rights movement had a PR problem and Claudette was about to become collateral damage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes, where we're learning that the civil rights movement had the same problem as every other progressive movement in history. They cared more about optics than justice. Let's talk about how they threw a teenager under the bus, pun intended.
Well, do they care more about optics than civil rights, or did they just recognize that optics are very important when you're trying
to do that? Yeah, that's about where we're headed.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed is.
Like they cared about...
Yes, they did care about optics more, but they also knew they would get nowhere without caring about optics.
You mean they cared about civil rights more than optics, but they knew they wouldn't get anywhere without the right optics.
They put civil rights aside for optics because they knew they wouldn't get anywhere without focusing on that.
Right.
Despite the mission. So Claudette has been arrested. The black community is rallying, and the NAACP is considering making her the face of a legal challenge to bus segregation. Everything is lining up. And then Claudette gets pregnant.
Oof.
Yep.
Pearl what clutch. A hussy. 15 years old or 16 years old at this point, however old she is.
Yep. I'm sure she just turned 16 when she found out she was pregnant. She's unmarried, and she did not disclose the father. I know, right?
Clutch my
She's
pearls.
Unmarried at 15, 16 years old. What a... She did not disclose the father, but he is reportedly much older man and a married man.
Of course.
And in 1955, nobody was asking the question about why this man was having relations with a child. Mm-hmm. Instead, they were shaming her. Instead of protecting this girl, instead of recognizing her as a victim of multiple systems of oppression, the civil rights leadership and her own community looked at her and said, liability.
Yep. Nope. You have no morals, obviously, because you gave in to, or you probably pursued that older married man. Right. I mean, come on. What
I
were
saw
you wearing
the other day? And I was like, I'm going to start doing this. Every time a man is a victim of something, I'm going to be like, well, I think he might have wanted it. Like, why was he there in the first
place?
You need
to be like, what was he wearing?
Was he out alone? Why was he alone at night? Was he walking down the street alone? What was he doing?
Why would he do that?
I think he wanted it. From now on, I'm doing that. Anyway, back to the story. But this is for good reason that they saw her as a liability, like we were just saying, because white moderates would see her as unsavory. And they were the opportunity. The white moderates were the folks who could be swayed. They were the ones who weren't on the side of oppression and segregation, but they also weren't quite jumping in on the movement, right? They weren't leading the movement.
Right.
So you needed to bring them along in the movement.
Yeah, it's like the independent voters today.
Yes, exactly.
Where you're like, they're not quite sure. They're like, we don't like this Trump guy, but I don't know. These Democrats are just out
feckless
there.
Yeah. And useless and spineless.
So yeah, so yeah.
Our options are pretty low.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to present them with somebody that they're like, oh, I can get behind that guy.
That guy. Yeah, right. Mm. Exactly. So Edie Nixon from the NAACP, who was the head, actually, literally said she was too dark and too poor to be the face of the movement. They worried that her pregnancy would give the white press...
Too black.
Yep, too black, basically. Yep. In that era, like, who's rich and black? Like, her skin was too dark and she was too poor. Yeah. Well, of course.
So they're looking for somebody who's lighter skin black, so it's not as,
I mean,
like,
if you look at
a
Rosa
reminder.
Parks, if you look at her, she's very well put together. Mm-hmm. She is lighter skin and, you know, she's always wearing something like a professional dress suit type outfit. She's... looks like a dark white person.
Yeah. Yeah. Respectable. I'm saying that with air quotes right here. Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's so funny because the next line is they wanted someone, quote, respectable, unquote.
Quote, yes.
So someone who looked like she could be in the church choir. Someone who wouldn't make white moderates uncomfortable.
And she probably was in the church choir, right? Rosa Parks.
Probably.
Yeah.
They wanted Rosa Parks, in fact. She fit the bill. She fit the picture. Now, before anyone comes for me, I'm not anti-Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks didn't do this to Claudette. Right. Rosa was a trained activist. She was actually a secretary at the NAACP.
Wow.
She was working on these missions. She was a woman who knew exactly what she was doing, and she refused to move on December 1st, 1955.
So it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a fly-by-the-seat of my pants thing like Claudette.
It was planned, by a group. They had planned this whole thing. So she knew when the cops showed up that someone would be filming. She knew when she got arrested, someone would be bailing her out.
Right.
She knew she was protected and that she had a group behind her. Claudette didn't have that.
Yeah.
She sat down on that bus with no plan, no idea that she was even going to be, I mean, a thought that she could be moving. But like when she sat down in that seat, her colored seat, she had the right to sit there until a white person came on. It probably wasn't in her mind that I'm going to sit here and I'm going to refuse and I'm going to get arrested and I'm going to make a movement. I'm sure when she got on that bus, that was not the plan. And it was for Rosa. She sat there on purpose.
Well, I'm just thinking, okay. So they're like, all right, so Claudette, we've seen what she did. I think this is a great idea. Rosa Parks, we want you to do it. I wonder how many times she rode that bus and nobody asked her to move when she was like, I'm ready. I'm ready. And then she just gets to her destination. She gets off.
Dang it, not like, enough white people today.
Like, do it. I gotta like figure out whether there's any white people on the bus.
Every other day I have to move, but the days I need this mission to happen, no one shows up.
And they're like, all right, Rosa, if it doesn't have to happen today, we're doing something else.
Hours. She spends an entire day on a bus. That's hilarious.
She just gets on the bus and off the bus and on the bus and off the bus. And they're like, we have spent at least $25 on bus fares today, which was a lot of money back in the 1950s.
Yeah, because I think it was like 10 cents.
Right. You're like, I've ridden the bus for 7 solid hours today. I'm done.
Like, are you going to ask me to move or not?
She's like, do I need to sit in the white section so that... No, that's not... I have to sit in the colored. Okay. All right. How can I make... I'm going to sit at the front of the colored section. All right. I'm going to sit at the edge.
I never thought about that. How long did it take for this mission to happen? Because we were always taught that it was just some random
spontaneous
movement. Yeah. No, it's not.
Well, maybe it's happened for like a week where she's just like... All right, I gotta go just sit on the bus today.
There's that lady sitting on the bus again.
The bus driver's like,
are you ever gonna get off? This fare, you're gonna have to pay another fare. You've been on all day.
She's like, I just really love riding the bus.
I love seeing, I'm touring the city.
Yes.
So Rosa Parks was very strategic. She was brave and she deserves recognition that she received, just not all of it. She did not come up with the idea and she was not the first to take the stand. It was still brave. Mm-hmm. And she knew what was coming, and she still refused to move.
Yeah, she knew she would probably get beaten.
Yeah. Although I think having cameras there may have helped her a little bit in that. But so a new term I learned researching this story is respectability politics. It's the idea that oppressed people have to be perfect to deserve justice, that you have to dress right, talk right, have the right background and the right story, that if you're messy or complicated, or God forbid, you make mistakes, then you're not worthy of being defended.
You have to be somebody that's worthy of sympathy.
Yes, exactly. And
like an orphan child.
It's still here today. And we see this constantly. Every time a black person is killed by police, what's the first thing the media does? They dig through their past. Did they have a criminal record? Do they smoke weed?
Oh my God.
Think George Floyd. He was a criminal. He was on fentanyl. Okay. But nothing he did deserved
so to he should be murdered?
Murdered in the street. Like none of that was punishable by death. Mm-hmm. Coming in with a fake $20 bill is not punishable by death in the street of Minnesota.
And yeah, in the 2020s, maybe in 1820, you could kill somebody for
right.
for that's just that not sort of thing.
Okay,
but
and we should not be
on.
Okay with that, whether he's a criminal or not. Yeah, he had an entire he abused women apparently. Like reading through his history,
so
he had a lot of bad behavior.
Okay, so he might have been a shitty person, but does that deserving no. him of death?
No,
like I can think of a lot of things that people in this freaking American cabinet,
yeah,
administration
absolutely.
That have done that
yes,
are
absolutely.
Just as bad, but they have money
and
power.
I would be less infuriated had any of them had a knee on their neck right now.
I can think of
if the, any got, of them were
I've
saying I can't
three
breathe.
Top people
I'm
right
okay
now.
With it.
Three people that are at the top of my list,
and none of them are black, and none of them are drug. Well, I don't know if they're drug addicts. I can't claim that.
One of them is definitely an alcoholic, and one of them is Voldemort.
Yes, exactly.
And one of them might be addicted to spray tanner. Maybe you get a little bit high. But
one of them. I saw a video. Like apparently Trump has revealed what he uses on his face, and it's actually an under like a color corrector for like.
He just puts it all over his face.
He puts it all over his face, and so this makeup person was making fun, going through a whole tutorial about why this is bad and what he should really use, and I was dying laughing. He's such a freak, and he insists on doing it himself. Apparently, oh, that's why there's like this line around his face.
He needs
because no professional's doing it, but he only likes the way he does it.
He needs
it.
To learn about contouring.
Yes, that was the whole.
He could have like the Kardashians makeup artist come in, and like
yes.
he would have like these amazing cheekbones. If
and
he
they
just,
were yes. Oh my God, he would look 24.
He had a little highlighter under the eyes.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Was all these tools. Now, if you use this contouring brush, and if you don't, this is just meant for a little spot,
right.
and you're putting it all over your face. He's such a moron. Okay, back to the story.
Somebody should get him that, you know, the green color corrector. It's supposed to like help with redness.
Oh yeah,
somebody should tell
that's
him that
they
that
were
will
showing
make him
was
look
all
better
these
and just
ones.
Put it all over his face. Yeah. And just have him be green. Next,
looks like an alien. He's ill.
Or he looks like an Oompa Loompa right now, but
God, he's hideous. I'm like, no,
okay,
it's
okay, I'm stopping with the tangents.
Okay, yeah, back to the story. We were talking, where were we? Oh, we were talking about George Floyd and having his
yes,
rights
yes.
violated, whether he's a model citizen or not. The Constitution still applies to him because
yeah.
he is a human being
yeah.
and does not deserve to be murdered in the street. Claudette Colvin was the original victim of this respectability politics, although I don't know that she was. Original victim? That might be a big claim. Anyway, she was a victim of respectability
sure.
politics. She dared to be real. Flawed, complicated human being. She didn't set out for on a mission. She just knew being asked to move from her seat was wrong,
yeah.
and she was going to say no. She was alone and uncertain of what would happen to her, but certain she had a right to take this stand. And the movement said, sorry, we need somebody cleaner, somebody more respectable.
Right.
She was the brave one. But here's the thing that absolutely brings out my feral side. Even though they didn't make her the face of the boycott, they then called her back when they needed her to win the case.
Of course.
Because things weren't going their way. When it came time to actually challenge bus segregation in court, Rosa Parks' case was stuck in state court hell. They submitted her case to Alabama.
Okay.
And they tied it up. Alabama just kept tying it up.
Oh, just extending the court dates
yep.
and this, and there's a technicality
delays,
and a
delays,
delay, blah,
delays,
blah, blah.
And it was going nowhere on
okay.
purpose. So the NAACP decided they needed to file a federal case.
Okay.
But Rosa Parks couldn't be
because it was still in litigation.
Because she was still in the middle of litigation. She would have needed to wait for that litigation to end. And if
or
she
drop
lost,
it, which I guess you couldn't do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they chose not to do. So the NAACP files a federal case called Browder versus Gale, and they needed a very...
Who's Browder and Gale?
Browder versus Gale. I'm not sure who those people are.
I know.
Actually.
I never know, like, when the cases are, like, these two random names that have nothing to do with the people that you know about. I'm like, okay.
All the time. Roe v. Wade. Who's Wade?
Yeah.
Who's Roe? I don't know.
Is that the prosecutor? I mean, is that, like, yeah, I don't know. I should learn more about these things, but
yeah.
I don't.
Nope. The name, those names, we just name the case and go on. Like, mm-hmm. what was it named after? I don't know.
Brown versus the Board of Education. Who's the Board of Education?
But who was the main plaintiff? Claudette Colvin.
Oh.
Because Rosa couldn't be part of that case, they needed as much testimony to the negative impacts of segregation as possible. And Claudette's case was documented by her arrest.
Yeah, where she was horribly beaten for not moving from her seat on a bus.
Right. For a white person.
Yeah.
The girl, they said, was too unreliable to be the face of the movement. She was reliable enough to stand in federal court.
Of course.
She was reliable enough to stare down segregationist lawyers who wanted to humiliate her. Can you imagine? I'm sure they brought up every bad thing about her and her family. She was reliable enough to be part of a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court and won. 1956, Browder versus Gale is the case that actually ended bus segregation in Montgomery, not Rosa Parks' case, Claudette's.
Wow.
And what did she get for it? Nothing. No parade, no statue.
Yeah, we
no
don't
holiday,
even know who she is.
Right? No road in Portland, no chapter in a history book. She moved to New York, worked as a nurse's aide for decades, and nobody even knew who she was. Hmm. She lived in the Bronx, taking care of other people, while the history books wrote her out of the story completely.
Wow.
It wasn't until 2021.
Wow.
2021, Chick.
5 years ago. Good grief.
That the state of Alabama finally expunged her arrest record.
What?
Right? She was just a convicted criminal until 2021. Even though she won the case that ended bus segregation, the reason she was arrested
stayed
on the books.
I'm shaking my head. You can't see it. I'm just like in disbelief.
It's just crazy. So.
People.
Okay, we need to take another break and let that settle in that we have been lied to our entire lives.
Well, I'm used to that.
Yeah, we are getting totally used to that. When we come back, we're going to talk about what Claudette's story teaches us about who gets to be the hero and why we need to stop waiting for permission to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. All right, we're back, and I'm still mad.
Seems.
Let's bring this story home. So what do we do with Claudette Colvin's story? What's the point of digging up this painful, infuriating piece mm-hmm. of history? Here's what I think. Claudette teaches us that the perfect victim is a myth designed mm-hmm. to keep us compliant. Here are some recent ones. Renee Good.
Right.
Didn't have custody of her older children. Who cares? Does that make her someone who we should shoot in the face? No. Or we could look at the Epstein victims. Now that certain people wanted to go away, some of these victims...
Oh, don't forget, Renee Good, lesbian now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, lesbian.
Was married to a man, now married to a woman. So obviously, moral
right, they
issues.
Looked, they investigated her wife and not the idiot that killed her.
The guy who called her an effing bitch after yeah. he shot her.
Yeah, yeah. No, we don't investigate that. We're going to find everything that's wrong with Renee Good so that that officer can remain on the up and up.
Yeah,
she deserved it.
Yeah, she deserved to be... shot in the face. Yep.
Or we look at the Epstein victims now that certain people want it to go away. Some of these victims just kept going back. Are they really victims? They must have been consenting.
Consenting children, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or look at the families. These are not credible witnesses. We can't. Every time we hear a Cash Patel or Pam Bonney, well, we've investigated every credible lead. Credible?
Right.
Because these victims, their testimony is not credible because maybe their families aren't rich or maybe mm-hmm. they're not perfect. So they're not credible.
Yeah, don't look too hard at my past.
Right?
Say I'm not credible either.
I mean, who could be a true victim
right.
with the standards that that respectability
even
politics
my
or our society?
Sweet dog who is perfect.
He is, actually.
Eats rabbit poop.
Yeah, right.
So he's not credible either. And sometimes he attacks the cat.
He did. Try to lick my, he licked my mouth inside. It's not credible.
He loves rabbit poop. It's really gross.
Well, keep it out of my mouth.
It's just like little, it's like milk duds.
This is true. I like milk duds.
He likes milk duds too. It's just they come from a rabbit's butt.
All right. So if you are not a perfect, shiny victim, then you must share some of the blame. And therefore, it's downgraded or ignored completely. Victims of abuse or crime often do not report. Mm-hmm. Who wants their flaws laid out to see if yeah. you deserve justice or not?
Yeah.
And that's what happens. People seriously have to weigh this. We are now 75 years post-Claudette Colvin, mm-hmm. and we still weigh whether or not we are worthy of justice before we report crimes.
It's ridiculous.
The system, whether it's Jim Crow Alabama or Trump's America or anywhere in between, mm-hmm. wants you to believe that you have to earn your humanity.
Yeah.
That you have to be respectable, polite, non-threatening. That if you're too loud, too angry, or too complicated, or too real, then you don't deserve any justice.
Or too brown.
Yeah. Claudette didn't wait for permission. She didn't have the right background. She didn't have a PR team. She didn't have a mission behind her. She was just a 15-year-old girl who knew she deserved better, and she acted on it. And that movement failed her. The people who should have protected her threw her away because she didn't fit the narrative. But she still showed up.
Mm-hmm.
She still testified. She still won. She did what was right for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And for many people, this was not just for her. Mm-hmm. She wasn't sticking up for herself. So when someone tells you, wait your turn, or be more civil, or work within the system, or wait till November and vote,
mm-hmm.
remember Claudette. Remember that she was told she wasn't good enough. And she fought anyway. Remember that the system didn't fight for her. She fought for herself. And in doing so, she fought and won for a lot of other people, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
That's the energy we need right now.
Yeah, we do.
Because let me tell you, the current game makers running this country don't care if you're polite.
Oh, they just don't care about you.
They don't care if you follow the rules.
No.
They don't. They're banning books. They're stripping reproductive rights. They're demonizing trans kids and putting immigrants, including children, in camps, even if they're following all the rules, even if they're quiet and calm and not yelling and angry.
They're taking away their crayons.
They're disappearing people, killing American citizens, and they're doing it while smiling and waving an American flag and holding a Bible.
And a $29.99 Trump hat.
Yeah. From China. China. And that's just what they're doing in this country. I haven't even included what they're doing around the world to our enemies and our allies alike.
Mm-hmm.
Claudette Colvin just recently passed away in January at the age of 86.
January of this year?
2026. Yeah.
Oh, just, God.
And did you see that in the news?
No.
Did they highlight it? Did we see a special?
Well, unfortunately, our news is completely inundated by all the terrible things that this administration is doing.
It's true.
So it's
kind
of hard
room.
To see anything else except for that 5-minute Friday that I brought, which you guys have to listen to. That'll be your palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly. Need a laugh.
It'll
need
be your
race. A moment of freedom.
Need an enema.
Yeah.
A cleansing enema. So you can be ready for
more shit.
For inserting more shit in there. Oh, God. Got to beep.
I mean, there's so many. You got to check it out because there are so many innuendos in what she just said. Hints. There's hints. So here's my challenge to myself and you, Shay.
Me.
And to everyone listening.
And Ruff.
Stop waiting to be the perfect activist. Stop waiting for the movement to give you permission. Stop waiting for the system to recognize your humanity. Mm-hmm. When you see something that deserves fighting for, sit down or stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Dig in. Make them drag you off.
Mm-hmm.
And if they try to erase you, make so much noise they can't.
Yeah.
That's our rabbit hole for today. Yep. Claudette Colvin, the girl they erased, the woman who won, and the hero we should have been teaching our kids about all along.
Absolutely. Great story. Wow.
Yeah. I'm just sad I didn't know this.
Well, I'm also sad. This sounds terrible. I'm sad she died now and didn't die 2 years ago because she had to see what's happening to this country before she died.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she had died during Biden's term, maybe she could have died with a little bit more peace. But I have, if she was aware of what was going on when she passed away, then she was like, well, this is terrible. This is right. Not what I fought
this
for.
This is more 1955 yeah. Alabama.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at.
Oh, man. That was a good story. I feel educated. Thank you.
You're welcome. I feel educated too. I feel enlightened. Like, oh my gosh, how did I not ever know this story?
That's crazy. That's crazy. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, stay curious and we'll see you next time. You've been listening to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes. We thought maybe you had forgotten. How could you forget? We are your hosts, Shay
and Jody.
And you can find all things on our website, rainydayrabbitholes.com, like sources, notes, pictures, links, whatnot. That beautiful website is designed and managed by the amazing and talented Letha Davis at easybreezy.com. That's easybreezy, EASYBRZY.com. All episodes are edited and produced by me, Shay, and you can reach out with any questions or comments at shay@rainydayrabbitholes.com. That's SHEA. Thanks for listening. Please share the podcast with your friends and family and stay curious.
See you down the rabbit hole. Tired of sugar-coated news and corporate spin? Check out The Nicole Sandler Show, speaking truth to power with the irreverence it deserves. Smart, fearless, and just the right amount of snark, Nicole breaks down the headlines, exposes the hypocrisy, and talks with the people working for real change. Weekdays at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on Progressive Voices, NicoleSandler.com, Substack, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't just get the news, get the truth.